I'm Frank Vaughn. It's August 28, 2026, and sometimes I wish I could say two things at once, or three things at once, or maybe 10 things at once, so that a person, a viewer, could listen to them all at the exact same time to understand how they all fit together in the same moment, because the problem is you can only speak one theme at a time. And those themes in today's world often convey to the person who's listening different things than what you're trying to say. So that if you believe one thing, it means this, this, and this, when in reality, when I'm saying it, the thing that I'm saying means the thing that I'm saying, and those other things I say different things to. And this all stems from this idea that everybody's got to pick a side. That if you say something critical about one side, then you have to share all the points of view of that side, which I don't do. But since I can't bend space-time, since I can't say 10 things at once, I have to just try to communicate in the good old-fashioned way, which is saying one thing at a time. So let's do that again. The first thing I intend to get frustrated over today are the words of the premier of my province, Scott Moe. Let's listen.
Let me start with the potential suggestion of an export tax on potash. Saskatchewan in the not-too-distant future will be providing half of the world's potash. That would be a tremendous economic hit to our province and to our nation. First, Canadians would lose jobs. Second, farmers on both sides of the borders would pay more for that crucial fertilizer. Third, the United States of America most assuredly would switch to buying potash from other nations around the world, nations like Belarus, for example. We would lose a long-term customer to some degree. And indirectly, I think it's fair to say, there are much closer nations that will not deal with a country like Belarus when it comes to potash procurement. This would be a tremendously flawed policy on behalf of Canadians. We today in the potash industry are using virtually all North American ports to ensure that we can get that product to the world. This again is due to a flawed policy in Canada when it comes to our port governance, in particular the structure of the board at the Port of Vancouver, which is not representative of the three prairie provinces that export the bulk of the product out the Port of Vancouver. We are restricted due to those policy decisions that have been made that are utilizing port capacity in Canada to export other products from other areas of the world and to import other products from other areas of the world, thereby restricting our ability to export more products like potash out the Port of Vancouver. We have asked for that structure to change, the board structure at the port to change, to prioritize the Canadian economy, to prioritize the Prairie Provincial economy so that we have true access to the world through an efficient port system and ultimately build that industry for years into the future. Similarly, we cannot in any way support the adding of export tariffs on a product like oil. Again, it would be an unsustainable hit to our Canadian economy and in particular our Saskatchewan and Alberta economy. Canadians would lose jobs immediately. We as a nation would lose investment immediately. And I would put forward that an export tariff on oil would have a far greater impact on those that are living in Eastern Canada than it would even on those that are directly working in the energy industry. 20 to 50% of Canadians' refined petroleum products, our diesel, our gasoline, is produced through products that are produced in Western Canada, travel through the United States of America back into Canada to be refined and utilized. An export tariff on that Canadian Western oil would most assuredly result in a much higher price on gasoline.
Now, I'm going to apologize in advance if I swear today. It may just roll off the tongue once I get going, but I got to tell you, 150 years is enough. And I don't know why every single premier of a Western province has to be a dedicated Federalist. Once again, there's not much wrong. I want to make clear that there's not a whole lot wrong with what Scott is saying. Other than the fact, he says the Eastern Canadians are going to suffer worse than the Western Canadians. That's a non-starter. Once again, you've got a premier of a Western province trying to make a rational case to Eastern Canada. I come from Eastern Canada. I moved out here to become part of Western Canada. I got to tell you, Eastern Canada in general doesn't give a shit about the Western provinces. You're just a tax cow. You're serfs. You're slaves. We're slaves. That's how we're viewed. Nobody cares about us there, and you're not going to reason with these people. A lot of our problem in this country right now comes from the fact that people who are dictating the political terms of discourse in this country are pensioners, people whose money just shows up in their bank account by some old age security, guaranteed income supplement magic, or other forms of money that just shows up in the bank account. It's not earned. It's not paid for. It's just money that magically materializes. And we've reinforced that through decades of free money policies, especially in the COVID era where everybody got a bunch of money for absolutely nothing. In Alberta and in Saskatchewan and in Western Canada, where we produce things, our money comes from trade. Our money is earned. We make a product. We sell that product to the world. And I got to show you in the comment section, because this is what we're up against. This is why making an argument and trying to rationalize with Eastern Canada has a 150-year track record of failure. We're never going to get what we want. Every single bit of prosperity that's ever been built in Western Canada has been built in defiance of Ottawa. They've been screwing us since the days that Palliser's Triangle was named, when they sent thousands of families across the prairie to settle Palliser's Triangle because the people in Ottawa sent a survey team there. That survey team said, you can't farm there. It is not suited to cereal cropping. It is a bad land, basically. They went back to Ottawa, and the brain trust in Ottawa said, we don't like your findings, so we're going to send someone else. They sent someone else, and that person said, it's fertile as it can get. People are going to get rich. All they got to go out there and do is farm. And people were sent out here, and they were ruined. And then when we were building the railway, no one that lived here wanted a railway through the south. They wanted a railway that cut northwest up through the Yellowhead. And that was turned down. And they built a railway along the south line for their political purposes in Ottawa. And it hamstrung the people of the west. And you can go forward through time and you can see this argument over and over and over again. Everything we've built, everything that's been done here, has been done in defiance of Ottawa. And in the comments section, this is what you're up against. Scott wants to fight the tariffs as long as it doesn't affect Saskatchewan, Alberta, and Smith are the same. Let everyone else fight. We in Western Canada are the toolbox that Ottawa has. Our suffering is their principal ability to cause harm to the United States. And look, it's a double-barreled shotgun pointed right back at our own face. This trade war with the United States. I got to finish with these comments, and then I'm going to show you some reality. Two appeasers as premiers. Buying potash from Belarus would be twice as expensive because of where the potash comes from. What do you think happens when you put tariff on that product? You make it artificially more expensive, making Belarusian potash more attractive. But for people like this, the statement you made doesn't pass the smell test because you could easily figure out the shipping costs and put an excise tax on your product that would still be cheaper than the shipping from another country. Sure, you could do that. You could do the math. You could do all of this stuff to prove your virtue signaling to the United States, or we could just do business. We could just acknowledge the reality of how this country is designed. We'll get into that next. Alberta and Saskatchewan working independently with the U.S. would get rid of Carney, the Liberal East, and prosper the two provinces. That's whether they are sovereign or even 51st. No one likes that, but that's actually the answer. And here's why that's the answer. But before I do, I want to finish up the comment section. Your old biker who's part of our community. The potash companies you talk of here in Saskatchewan are owned by the United States. They can sell to whoever for whatever price they want, cutting the price if they wish, still making a profit, even after the 50% their overhead is nothing. They own the mines here. That's why Mo does nothing, because they're U.S. companies. Jumping over to my Twitter for a minute, I wrote this the other night. It's really important that people talking about the threats to Canadian sovereignty understand that you've been giving up your sovereignty for 50 years and you loved giving it up, but now you've been told to be angry about it by the people who sold it out, and so you dance. This is the post. Here is your official Buy Canadians Elbows Up list of Made in America things you now have to give up. iPhones, iPads, MacBook, AirPods, Apple Watches, Pumpkin Spice Latte, Starbucks, Walmart, Costco, Netflix, Disney, Amazon Prime, Google, YouTube, Gmail, Android phones, Windows PCs, Xbox, Coca-Cola, Popeyes, KFC, Burger King, McDonald's, Nike, Adidas, Under Armour, Marvel, Star Wars, even though those suck now that they've been wokeified. America is everywhere here. Going to Google Earth, look at this country. You go to Nipigon. If you've ever driven across this country, have you ever hit a traffic jam on Canada's only road connection? Have you ever hit a traffic jam? Of course you haven't. They're expanding the highway massively there. They've been working on it for years. I don't know for who. I've driven across the country a couple times now. I've never hit traffic because we have one road link. We have one rail link. Holds the whole country together. We wouldn't have that if it wasn't for government because business wouldn't build it. It's not two nations. This is actually, I'm going to tell you why Canada is not even a real nation. I'm going to tell you why. First off, our government's declared it. They have said we're a post-national state. They replaced the flag we fought two world wars under. Everybody talks about being a loyalist to the crown. Why did we replace their flag? We replaced the country in 1982 when Trudeau Sr. repatriated the Constitution, supposedly, and the Quebecois didn't even sign it. We're going to get to them in a minute. All I want you to understand right now, hit my desk too hard, is that this part of the country trades north-south predominantly. We rely on the Americans. We don't rely on Ottawa. We keep sucking up to Ottawa. We keep trying to reason with Ottawa. We keep trying to reason with the East. I got to tell you, they don't care. In general, they just don't care. They want our money. Quebec wants our money. We got to go back here for a minute. This really got me. This was just yesterday, actually, apparently. Post-National Canada. And this is the yogurt in my fridge. The French translation of Canadian culture, because everybody's virtue signaling about Canada and how wonderful Canada is. We have rehabilitated the Canadian flag. It's no longer a sign of hate speech. It's a sign of a Canadian defiance to the Americans, even though America is everywhere. Even though America provides so much capital to this country, even though this partnership, it's literally written in geography. Because we're right beside each other. This whole thing is so uselessly pointless. We got a leader in Mark Carney who's worked for the companies that have helped to stand Canada's guard down. This guy has been helping clear nations out and put them into the American piggy bank for years, and now all of a sudden he's here to save the country? Doug Ford with his cross-border business? Walking around with his stupid hat that says Canada's not for sale. We've been for sale for 50 years. We've been selling the place off. And these elbows up people in Eastern Canada, they just love every second of it. The French translation of Canadian culture would be La Culture Canadienne. But instead, for the French label, Astro uses Culture DC, which means local culture in English. Why? We wouldn't want to piss off a Quebecois by implying they're Canadian. All you got to do is go into the comments section to find out how true this actually is. Toubon, toujours Toubon, says, translation isn't just about words. DC conveys a feeling of proximity with the brand that Canadien does not. Aside from that, the company still chose the most Anglo-Canadian packaging I've ever seen, so I don't think they cared. He proves my point. He views Canadian colors. He views Canadian culture as Anglo. The Quebecois don't give a shit about this country. They just don't care. And I'm sorry for people in the audience who come from Quebec and actually do care about the country because you're out there. But in general, the government of Quebec and in general, the majority of the people don't view themselves as Canadian. They view themselves as Quebecois. Here it is. Mario Lopez. No, it is permitted because I complain. Did you know the Quebec government has rules against displaying the Canadian flag at provincial buildings? One could make the argument that Trump is more patriotic about Canada than Quebec is. They don't fly the Canadian flag. Some of those rules are written. Some of those rules are unwritten. There are no Canadian flags at provincial buildings, only the Quebecois flag. Why? Because they view themselves as a separate nation. Maria Lopez, no, it is permitted. We just don't like putting out the flag you stole from us a long time ago. We designed our own. We designed our own and we love it. Good. I'm trying to maintain my composure here. Why didn't you leave the country? Get out. You keep cashing the fucking checks. Alberta and Saskatchewan generate the revenue and you people just take it in welfare while you sit on a bag of resources underneath the feet of Quebec and you refuse to develop them because when you're done taking it from Canada, you're going to take your bags and you're going to leave and then you're going to develop your resources. You carve out your hydro production so it's not part of the equalization calculation. The whole country bends over backwards for Quebec. They don't go along with rules on immigration. They don't go along with pride. They do whatever the hell they want. And Ottawa still chooses to cater to their individualistic needs. All the while, Western Canada just suffers. And Scott Moe gets on stage and tries to reason with Eastern Canada. Our premiers are so lost in milquetoast, even in their defiance. Scott Moe has shown strength at times. Daniel Smith has shown strength at times. But when it comes down to the wire, neither of them want to acknowledge the reality that's right in front of our face. We are far more dependent on the United States. And the United States has been far more cooperative over the years than Ottawa has. Every bit of prosperity has been won against the will of Ottawa and often with the cooperation of the Americans. And people will say, well, the Americans advantage themselves. They buy oil at a discount. They've geared it so pipelines are going through the United States. Have they? Did they gear that? Did they set that up? Who governs Canada? Who's responsible for the pipeline ban going to BC that we can't get a pipeline built? Who's responsible for the tanker ban? Who actually holds these things in place? Who killed Energy East? It wasn't the Americans. Maybe they lobbied. Maybe they lobbied to their advantage. Good for them. They're a nation pursuing their national interests. That's not what Canada does. We've just laid down before everybody. Not just the Americans, before the Chinese, before the Indians, before the Khalistanis, before everybody else. We've said we're a post-national state with no core identity. It's true, and it started with Quebec. And I want to just give you an example of the absolute knuckle-dragging idiocy that holds us all back from actually making real and tangible progress towards advancing the cause of reality. NXD on Twitter, after I made the post, one could make the argument that Trump is more patriotic about Canada than Quebec is. He says, I'm curious, were you mentally retarded before you became a conservative, or did conservatism rot your brain? And I said to him, why do this? How does it improve the human condition? This isn't a conversation. This is just some weak moron behind a keyboard throwing invective and ad hominems around to avoid an intellectual point. I said to him, or he said, because you're siding with Trump over your own country. And I said, is that what I'm doing? Or am I just telling the truth? For which you start firing ad hominems from behind the safety of your device. You have to do better than that, mate. The world needs better. You act more like Trump, more like the Trump you hate than me. It's not so much that I support Trump. I support reality. The idea of America is much bigger than Trump. I got to tell you, going through Donald Trump's feed is a constant source of frustration. Renaming Lake Ontario to Lake America, sure, it's memeable. Doesn't do anything. America is still careening towards bankruptcy with a $2 trillion deficit. They're still locked in a war pretending that they won. Trump is still memeing about himself and Dolly Parton and bragging about ballrooms. And like, there's a picture somewhere here. Look at this. America can't afford this. America, like, the United States is so broke. They're having trouble selling treasury bonds, and they're having trouble keeping the largest holders of those treasury bonds, the Japanese and the British, from selling them because their economies are circling the drain. And so the United States, under Bessent, their idea is to just print as much money as possible to try and prop up those two sovereigns. This is after they did the same thing during the Iran war for the GCC. Instead of getting the Saudis selling their treasury bonds, it's just a money printing exercise to keep them liquid. I can pick on the Trump administration all day. Oftentimes I do. There are people out there who think that Trump is just some kind of magical meme lord, god emperor, who's got this 5D chess master plan and it's working to perfection as they live stream going homeless. It's America has its problems too. What I'm advocating for is a return to reality, especially for Canada. Why we're still, and I'm repeating myself, but why Scott Moe and Daniel Smith and these politicians are still trying to explain the case for Western Canada to Eastern governance that's never cared about us. They care about the checks. They care about the taxes they can raise from us. They care about using us as an economic weapon against the United States. They don't care if a bunch of Albertans and Saskatchewan people end up homeless because of a tariff war. It doesn't affect them. It's a two-day drive away. We are flyover country on their way to Tofino. That's all the West Coast is. It's their vacation spot. Nobody cares about us. Not in government. And yet we still try to reason. We still bend over backwards trying to accommodate 150 years of this nonsense. And I know I've only been here 4 years, and look at me changing my clothes, going from the east to the west, and oh, he's trying to build a constituency. Screw that, man. I'm not looking to get elected in politics. It'll never happen anyway. I am way too honest to ever be allowed to run, whether federally or provincially. It's probably never going to happen. But even if it did, it's not about that. When I lived in the east, this frustrated me too. I made videos. I wrote articles. I talked about this stuff. I talked about how unfair it was in 2019 when I ran in the federal election. I went to there was a local media company that was publicly funded, and they were interviewing candidates to get their idea and their points of view. And for all the other candidates, they got their interview. What I got was an argument and a debate, and I did so bloody well, they never published the video. So they actually published the videos of the interviews of the other candidates, and they held mine until something like Election Day or the day after. That's how skeevy the culture is in the East. These are the people that are in control. This is your political class. This is your media class. But you're trying to reason with that? And now we got this budding sovereignist movement at the same time as Ottawa is dumping all kinds of imports from India and Nigeria and all over the world into Edmonton and Calgary and Medicine Hat and all the other little towns, working to change the demography, working to make sure that the core of Alberta just gets swamped out. And the Western premiers are largely cooperating with the whole thing. You get government emails, even here in Saskatchewan, and people are listing their pronouns. The disease is here. It's rotting the place. Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why the premiers keep trying to cater to it, because they view it as inevitable. I wish that they would collectively summon some balls, just tell the truth, cut deals with America, cut Ottawa out, realize that there's only one road link and one rail link, and we are sitting on two separate countries. Eastern Canada with its Quebecois problem, we could just let them have it. Think about that. If you didn't have Western Canada, it would be a liberal la-la land. You could rule, you could have socialism, you could create the utopia out of Ontario and Quebec. It would be beautiful without us. And we could cut deals, you know, just to finish up. When there was the carbon tax issue, dispute, there was a home heating oil cut for Eastern Canada that didn't include the West because Trudeau was trying to buy votes. Scott Moe did something incredibly courageous. He illegally removed the carbon tax on home heating oil, in effect, doing something very rebellious, almost Reellian. And he did it, and he got away with it, and he won. We need more of that, more defiance, not more mealy-mouthed trying to reason with the East. They don't care about us, and they never have. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one.